Let's grab our Bibles, head on over to Luke chapter 5. If you're new to Ark Bible Church, welcome. We love you. We pray for you, even though we don't know you. We've got a prayer team that's praying over you guys, and I know that God's going to speak a word to your heart today if you're ready to hear it. And let's pray, and we're going to get into the Word of God. So, Father, we love you, and I thank you that we have an opportunity to serve you and to come into your presence. We need to hear today, Lord. We need faith today, but it comes by hearing. So open up our ears, God, open up our blind eyes, and speak to us today. We believe you're going to do it, and we're looking forward to it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Luke chapter 5, what we do here at Ark Bible Church is we go through the Bible. So if we're in Luke chapter 5 this week, guess where we're going to be at next week? That's right. So you guys can go ahead and read up on it and follow along with us. But as we're going through the book of Luke, last week Mac did an amazing job. And he was talking about how Jesus had gotten into the life of this guy who was a paralytic. Do you remember the story how he had some crazy friends that did whatever it took to get their friends to Jesus? Because this guy, he couldn't get to Jesus on his own. And I do believe that we need to thank God for those friends that we got in our life when we're miserable, feeling nasty and ugly, and we don't want to get to Jesus, that we got people in our life that'll get us to Jesus for us. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for the wives. Thank you, God, for the wives that do that for us, because sometimes we just feel an ornery and nasty, and we need people in our life that can get us to Jesus. But what was interesting to me about the story that Mac laid out for us last week was the man's condition. He was paralyzed, and what Jesus said to him first was, "Be healed." Right? No. See, I'm going to do that to you guys. I'm going to mess with you. He said, "Your sins are forgiven." And then he said, "Be healed." You remember the order? And the reason why that is because the man's sin was tied to his condition. Something that we know about this guy is they think he had a sexual disease that was contributing to his paralysis. And so Jesus knew in order for the man to be whole, he couldn't just fix his circumstances without dealing with his sin. How many of you guys know God will leave you stuck in order to deal with your sin? And we don't like that, Jesus. We want the one who's moving things along, amen? But I'll tell you right now, there's some of us that wish they had the breakthrough, they wish they had the job, they wish that they had the connection, they wish they had this, they wish they had that. God, heal my circumstances. And God says, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and leave you stuck in it because you're going to learn how to deal with your sin when you're stuck. Nothing's going to make you deal with your sin better than when you're stuck. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So you know what we want to do? We want to deal with it while we're there. That's what we want to do. We don't want to flop around like a fish. Could you imagine that guy saying, "Oh, I don't want my sin forgiven. I'm out of here." And he starts flopping around like a fish. You know what? If we don't let God work in us, all we're going to do is flop around from one place to the next. And God wants to say, "Listen, I'm going to do a work in your sin, and then let's deal with your circumstances." So now Jesus is going, and he's calling his crew together. The disciples, this is where it all comes down. And he's choosing some pretty crazy and hardcore folks. We already know he was calling the fishermen. We saw them a couple weeks ago. But now he's going to call a tax collector named Levi in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Are you there? Matthew comes in, and actually his name is Levi is the man's name. And so, let me make sure I'm in the right spot here. Okay, so now Jesus shows up and he's going to call Levi. We also know that his name is Matthew later. But in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, it says, "After these things, when he went out, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, 'Follow me.'" After these things, after what things? Jesus just got done casting out a demon, healing Peter's mother-in-law, preaching the gospel, touching the leper that his skin was falling off and he was sick and nasty, unclean, because Jesus touches unclean people. And then he goes from that and from there, and then he's healing the paralytic. And then Luke says, after those things, Jesus is always doing something. It's always one thing after another with Jesus. He's spending his life serving in such a way that at the end of the day, he can say, I got something done. And you know what? We want to be like that with Jesus. What are you doing with your life anyway? I mean, let's say you get everything you want, but you're not falling into that gap where God wants you to be. You know what? You can have everything and live as you've got nothing. If you're out of that groove where God wants you to be, it says after these things, we want to spend our life and get after it for the Lord. We want to make sure that we're going home tired because of serving and loving on people and praying for people. That's what he does. Jesus is pouring himself out all over the place. And I think sometimes we need to get challenged with that because we get comfortable and we get tired and we get lazy and we come to church on Sunday and we go home and take a nap after Sunday afternoon. Amen? I know I do. And if it was up to me, church, if I had it my way, I would never want to do that which was uncomfortable for me. But we can't come into our calling comfortably. I would go home. There's a blanket on Amazon that weighs like 50 pounds. I would buy that blanket and just sit on my couch and watch Little House on the Prairie. I kid you not. You guys are laughing, but you know what I watch? Little House on the Prairie. I'm not even playing. I got my whole family watching that because that'll change your life. Go home and check it out. You guys remember Pa Ingalls? He loves Jesus. He's an honest man. He loves his wife. Don't put your hands on his wife. He'll take that corncob pipe and beat you with it. He's a good holy man. But see, that's what I want to do. I just want to watch Little House on the Prairie and say, forget all you people and just hide out. But what Jesus does is he gets busy and he serves and he says that he's going out and he sees this tax collector, Levi. And he's going to call him to walk with him and to change the world with him. I was driving down by Starbucks and an older lady had cut me off. And if you're here today, I hope to God this was not you. So this nice little old lady cuts me off, and Vicky was in the car with me, and so I decided to just kind of ride her bumper because I'm nasty like that. Anybody like you? You guys still got sin, right? You're still struggling. So I was like inches away because I'm like, you're going 20. Vicky's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get off of her. Get off of her. I'm like, she's going like 20 miles an hour in a 35. Get off of her. Get off of her. So I finally go off. I'm sorry. I love Jesus. Let's just start there. I do love the Lord, but I'm working in progress. So I'm like, man, forget this. And I go around her. And as I'm going around this nice little old lady, she puts her finger up to the window. And she gives me the finger of fellowship. And what's best is when they don't even look at you when they do it, right? Have you ever had somebody do that? They're just like, I don't even need to look at you. And Vicky looks over at me and she goes, do you feel good about yourself now? And I told her, I was like, man, I don't know what's wrong with people, but this is the type of people Jesus calls to be his disciples. He goes after the ain'ts, not the saints. And so me and that nice woman had a foundation that we're both ain'ts. But it's okay because Jesus doesn't call the saints, he calls the ain'ts. He comes up and he sees this man that he goes by the name of Levi is what he's going by, and he's going to call Levi to follow after him. Now, it says that Levi was a tax collector. He's an IRS agent, and I don't know how you guys feel about the IRS, but I'm guessing that when you hear that you've got to deal with them on Monday, you're not... Your first thought's not, I got to make this guy a cake, or I got to reach out and just see how he's doing, or I got to pray for my IRS agent. You know, a lot of the time when it comes to the IRS, we don't want nothing to do with these people. And nothing has changed in 2,000 years. These guys were total crooks. In fact, they were one step below a child mo. In fact, if you were a tax collector, you couldn't go to church. That's pretty bad, even when the church says you ain't coming in here. You were not having any more barbecues with the family. You were cut off from your friends, and you're going to get a different type of friend. And he was this guy that would rip off his own mom if he could do it. And they would bid on these positions, and anything they got above the tax, they got to keep. So that's how they made the money. So it's like if you went to Fred Meyer and the clerk there at the self-checkout, your total comes out to 50 bucks, and they're like, that's going to be 150. And you're like, wait a second. It says 50. I know what it says, but this is what it is. And then you got this guy named Guido behind him going to enforce the extra 100 bucks. And that's Matthew. Picture a big old fat guy with a cigar and a pinky ring that's got smoker's cough talking about, you owe me. This is Levi. He's a sinner, so much so that he's in his own class of sinner. They call him a tax collector. And so, there was no honest tax collectors. But you know what? That's when it says that Jesus saw him. The word in the Greek there meant Jesus was looking not at him, but through him. This is so important. Have you ever had somebody like creep on you? And you can feel it, right? You there's something weird, but someone's staring at you, and you look behind you and someone's just like right on your neck. And you're like, man, this feels kind of odd. And sure enough, there they are, staring at the back of your head. That's what Jesus is doing. He's looking at Levi and he's looking right through him. And you know what's important about this? Is that everybody saw this filthy tax collecting sinner. And instead of Jesus seeing who he was looking at what he could be. Thank God that God doesn't see us as other people see us. God sees potential. God sees what we can be with Jesus. He doesn't look at us in the same way that other people look at us. And by the way, we shouldn't look at other people the way that we look at them either. Because sometimes we look at people and we don't see the value in them. We don't see the calling, the anointing, everything that's there in them that they could be in Christ. And you know what? We want to be like Jesus and stop looking at the way people look now and start looking at the way that we know that they can be. You know, because some of you guys got husbands that you're upset with. And I want to tell you, as your husband grows in Christ, you need to start looking at that potential in him, in your children. I thank God that I had a wife that saw potential in me years ago. We've been together over 27 years, and there was a time about 20 years ago, she said, Jason, God's got something for you. And you know what I told her? You're crazy. There's no way. She's like, I'm telling you, I felt it in my stomach on the way home. God's going to use you. And she spoke into me when nobody was speaking into me. And I thank God for the people that I've had in my life that were pointing me to Jesus when I didn't even know where he was at. So far gone, and people saying he's got a plan, trust it, he's going to work in it. God, when it says, I want you to highlight that, he saw Levi, he didn't see him, he saw through him. And I just praise God for that, because you know what, when God gets a hold of us, he does make all things new, not some things, right? That is so good. I am actually preaching better than you're saying amen right now, so just letting you know. I got to slow it down. My heart's full. I kind of feel pregnant. Not that I know what that's like, ladies. Because right there, I've got women hating on me. You don't know what that's like. I've been around it. But you know what? I'm going to tell you guys something about the Lord. When it says he saw him, he saw the potential in him. And so he calls Levi to be in his core group because he's got a calling on his life. And what we see in Levi is his name. He's got a religious name. Anybody here got a name like Peter, John, Paul? Anybody, your parents named you? Nobody? Some of you? And you know what that tells us about Levi? That he was probably from the tribe of what? Yeah, Levi. Which tells us he had parents that saw him and had dreams when that baby was born that he was going to go into the ministry because the Levites served the Lord and they had such plans for this boy's life. He's going to give his life to God. He's going to serve the Lord. He's gifted. He's talented. God's going to use him and do miraculous things in him. And that's why they named him Levi, with that hope that God has a plan on his life and he's going to fulfill it. But church, somewhere down the road that this boy got it twisted. He started doing his own thing his own way, and he wanted money, he wanted success, and the fastest way he could get about it was charging people taxes and compromising. But I want to tell you guys something about God's plan. It's better than our plan. God's plan is always better than our plan. And there's times in our life where we do try to go after our own thing in our own way, just like Levi did. And maybe for some of us, it was the money, it was the dope, it was the ladies, it was the popularity, it was the authority. There's been something we go after, and we find out it's not God's plan for us. And once we get it, we find out we're miserable once we got it. Here's why. Because God's plan is better than our plan. And so really what we need to do is submit to God's plan. Say, hey, listen, I know that you got something for me, God. I may not always understand it because we're going to see that Levi didn't, but I'm going to cooperate with it. I'm going to submit to it. I'm going to lay down to it. I'm going to trust that your ways are better than my ways and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Levi had a calling on his life, but he ended up leaving it along the way. And so all we got to do is look at people on Facebook and see that doing life their way isn't going their way, right? We don't even need to go very far. Just start scrolling and look at what's happening when people get what they want. You know, Isaiah 55, verse 2, there's that verse that says, why are you laboring for that which does not satisfy? Why are you eating bread that doesn't sustain you or fill you up? And when we're going after these things, it's like chasing the wind, church. And I'm telling you, you need to plug in with God's plan, because that's when things start to click. And when they start to click and we're in that plan, as weird as it is and as hard as it is to step out on that plan, that's when things start working. And so Jesus shows up to him and he says, follow me. Nobody said that to Levi. They told him to get away from me, amen? They're telling Levi, you need to get away from me. You stink. I don't want nothing to do with you. And Jesus comes up to him. He says, I know nobody wants anything to do with you. I know you've burnt some bridges. But I love you, and I want you to follow me. Why did he tell him to follow him? Because he was following after other junk. And Jesus knew it. Levi knew it. And you know what it said when Jesus called him to follow him? It says he left. Did you guys see the progression? It said that he left everything, rose up, and he followed Jesus. Look in your Bibles there. He left everything, rose up, and he followed Jesus. Do you see it? Now, how do you leave everything when you haven't even got up yet? I'm going to tell you. He had a movie going in his mind when Jesus called him of how am I going to make it? What's it going to look like? Am I going to be alone? Are you going to make it work? How's it going to be? And so when it says he left all, he came to a place in his mind where he submitted in his heart to God, and he says in his head, in his heart, he goes, I'm done with this. It's over. I'm finished with this life. He got up and he walked out. Because until you can submit to God in your heart, you're not going to see it play out in your life. That's a word for somebody in here today who's struggling with something in your heart right now. You don't know how God's going to work it out, but he's telling you, you need to submit in your heart if you're going to see it play out in your life. And you know what? God's plan is perfect. I see it every day. I was talking to Kenny, I was talking to John, talking to Dave, talking to all my homies, and I'm looking at him. I'm like, man, look at what God's doing in your life. Kenny gets out of jail stinking like fish with dirty, filthy clothes. He's got nobody to help him, no money, nothing. And you should see him now. He's working like 15 jobs, got a nice truck, getting his act together. God's blessing his finances. God's taking care of his kids. God's making a way where there was no way. And so I see it everywhere because God's plan is perfect, but we got to get on the plan. And so Levi sees that movie running in his head. That's how he left all. Before he left anything, he had to leave it in his heart. And he says that he got up and he left and he followed Jesus. And we all know that Jesus will never leave us when we accept that call to follow him, amen? And so in verse 29, look at this. This is crazy. In verse 29, Levi gives his life to the Lord, and then it says, he gave Jesus a great feast in his own house, and there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down, and they ate with them. There was others. So Levi gives up everything to follow Jesus, and then he has a party for Jesus. That spoke to me, because there's a lot of Christians who act worse off after Jesus than before Jesus. What does Levi do? He gets up and he says, I've given my life to the Lord. I'm going to have a party. Things are going to be good. I've got a better outlook. I'm more excited about what he's doing in my life now than what I had in my life before. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my friends together and I'm going to pull them in and we're going to rejoice and we're going to have a party. But how many people do we know that give their life to the Lord and they act like what they had before the Lord was better than what they got with them now? Oh, I had all the ladies. I had all the money. I had all the fun. No, you didn't. You were dumb and locked up in jail. And not anybody here. Your life was a train wreck. And you know what? That's so cool that he got up and he has a party. And it says the others show up to the party with Jesus. And you know what? When it comes to our old life, we got to remember that you're never going to have joy with the Lord in the present if you're always thinking about the life you had in the past. How are you going to ever experience the joy of the Lord now if you're all about what happened before? The church you went to, the friends you had, the money you made, whatever. And Jesus is doing a new thing now. And we've got to, and in order to experience his joy now, we've got to let some of those things go in our past. So, but Levi, he's rejoicing in the Lord. He's left everything. He's having a party with his friends. And so now it says that in verse 29, it says there was tax collectors and others. Who are the others? The others are like the tax collectors, but they're not tax collectors. So sometimes we like to think of the Jesus that parties with other Christians. These were gangbangers, tattoos on the knuckles, rough people. And the reason why is because rough people hang out with who? Rough people. So before I got saved, I wasn't hanging out with librarians. I wasn't kicking it with scientists and nuns. All right? I was hanging with dope fiends and liars and violent people, because rough people hang out with rough people. And so what happens is it only makes sense that Levi's going to have some friends that are a little rough around the edges. Any of you got some friends that are a little rough around the edges? Yeah, and so in the same way, Levi's hanging out with these rough guys and he has Jesus over at his house. And I wanted to make a note of this before we go any farther. We're about ready to close out, but I wanted to make a note of this really quick. Jesus was at the party to heal them, not get infected by them. Okay, just so we're clear about it. because we go two different ways with this. You know, you got the super religious people that, man, we don't hang out with these people. You know, these are the others. And then we got another group of people that's like, oh, man, those are my homies. Those are my friends. I'm just, you know, I can party with them. And before you know it, you're not influencing them. They're influencing you. It's kind of like I went to Burger King with Vicky this week. And we're sharing a big old fountain diet Sierra Mist drink. It's so good. And she drinks half of it in one sip. And then hands it over to me. And I'm like, oh, and I'm just downing. I'm like, this is so good. I had pizza or something that day. So, yeah, I have pizza and then I go to Burger King. So I'm just drinking this. And it's so good in my paper straw. And as I'm drinking it, I look over to Vicky, and she goes, yeah, I got a sore throat. I'm like, what? For real? Like, you had to let me drink it right after you put your mouth all over it and then say, yeah, I got a sore throat. You know, hanging out with people that we shouldn't be hanging out with is a lot like you hanging out with my wife and her passing over the paper straw saying, oops, I got a sore throat. Because you're going to get what they got. So we got to be careful. We got to understand something. Jesus was there to pour into them, not to get infected by them. Amen? So we're clear there, right? Because I'm going to work on the religious people here in a second. But he's there, and he's pouring into their lives, and he's changing, and he's there, and he's loving them, and they're loving Jesus. And the reason why Levi has this party is because he wants his friends to know Jesus. It's a setup. It's a total setup. Hey, let's come over to the house. Oh, Levi knows how to party. He's got the free stuff. He's a partier. But it's a setup. I had a friend that was selling cocaine back in the early 90s. And of course, when you got a buddy that deals, you know, you got free dope sometimes. And so I was just happy to ever be around him because every time we were together, man, we were partying. And it was free. There's no kind of party like a free one. And so I move. And 6 months later, I come back. And my buddy Wade calls me up. He goes, Jason, let's go party, man. Good to see you back. I said, it's good to be back, Wade. And so he picks me up. And I'm like, hey, where are we going? Church. I was like, what? Yeah, man. We're going to church. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Do you know what that did to me? I'm like thinking we're going to get high. And he's like, I'm taking you to church. And I wanted to grab that wheel. I was so mad at him. I don't want to go to church. He took me to Greg Laurie's church, Harvest in Anaheim or Riverside. And you know what Levi's doing? He's having his friends over to the house because he's got Jesus there, and it's a setup. Because he knows, check this out, he knows he can't change these people, but he knows the one who can. And I want to tell you guys something. We may not be able to change everybody, but we can lead them to the one who can. Yes, you can. And so that's what he's doing. He brings them into Jesus. And all his friends are there, and they're hanging out, and they're partying with the Lord. And you know they're getting changed by Jesus while they're there. And so look who decides to show up in the party. In verse 30, it says, but the scribes and the Pharisees murmured, that didn't even sound good, against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Look who shows up to the party. This is where you hear that dum, dum, dum in the movie when the villain shows up. There's a beautiful picture of Jesus hanging out with others. And then you get these guys show up and they just jack everything up. My daughter, Cicely, sent me a picture this week of baby Judah. And she's so cute, my little baby Judah, my little grandbaby. I love those cheeks. And in the picture, their big fat mastiff's butt is facing the camera right next to this baby's head. So I screenshot it. And I circled the rear end of that dog and I sent it back to her. And I said, what is this? She goes, I know, Dad. After I sent it, I saw that and it looks horrible. So then she puts a little censored blackout over that dog's rear end and she sends it back to me. She says, is that better? I'm like, not really. Your dog jacked up a perfect picture of my grandbaby. And when these guys show up, that's exactly what they're doing. They're jacking up a perfect picture of sinners, others, outcasts, the transients, the guys who are just high as can be, and they're with Jesus just as they are. And they're jacking that picture up. Because they look to him and they say, what are you guys doing with those guys? Because they shouldn't be in your group. Now, you notice they're not talking to Jesus about this. They're talking to the disciples about this because what they're really doing is they've got a problem. It looks like with the disciples, but the problem is really with the leader of the disciples, Jesus, just like you. You know what? When you've got those people in your life that are calling you a fundamentalist Christian, you're crazy. It ain't, the problem's not with you. It's with who you're following, Jesus. So they go in there like, what's up with this? They shouldn't be in your group. Let me ask you guys something about our church. Who's allowed in our group?
Everyone.
See, here's the thing. I get people tell me all the time, oh, well, you know, we saw this person in the church and they're gay. And I just don't know what's going on with them. You know, I don't want to, I just don't get it. They're in the church and they're high. They just smoked weed. They came into the church and they're totally high. And you know what? And pastor, you know that they're high when they're high. Yeah, I do. I sure do. But you know what? You know who's part of our group? Everybody. Everybody's part of our group here. And that's pretty challenging. Because sometimes what we do is we mistake loving people for accepting them. And there's a difference. I don't have to accept what you're into to love you. Right? And so what we want to do is we don't want to be the type of church. My question isn't why some people come into the church like that. My question is, why isn't this church filled up with people like that? That's what I want. That's what I want our church to be. Let it be known of our church that we're loving people. And here's the way it works. If anybody wants to come into these doors and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, I don't need to change them. God will do it. So what we got to do is just say, hey, you guys come on in. And we're going to give you Jesus, and we're going to let Jesus mess with you. I don't got to do it. I don't have the capability anyway. So worship team, come on up here. We're going to close out with this last verse. So the others are there. And it says that the Pharisees have a problem with them. In verse 31, Jesus is going to answer the problem on the question, what are these guys doing here with you? And Jesus says in verse 31, he said to them, those who are well do not need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Man, I love that. It's not the sick. It's not those that are well. It's those who are sick that I'm after. I mean, and if you think about it, church, if you're well, do you ever go to the doctors? Do you ever go to the hospital when you're feeling great? Hey, it's Friday night and I got off work early. I think I'm gonna go hang out there and catch the coronavirus. That sounds like a lot of fun. Nobody does that. You'd have to be crazy or high to say, hey, I'm gonna go hang out at the hospital. I run from the hospital until my feet fall off and I need the hospital and I keep running. I don't wanna go. But Jesus told them, he told those religious leaders, he says, listen, it's not those that are well, it's those who are sick that need the physician. And church, the problem with that was, is that it was at that moment they should have said, oh, we're sick too. Oh man, we are so messed up too, Jesus. That was their opportunity, those religious hypocrites. That was their opportunity to say, God, we keep the rules. We do everything like we're supposed to. We push your word. We want people to obey your word. Oh, but God, are we messed up? It didn't go that way. And so, as we close this out this morning, I want to tell you something. There's two types of people. There's those that are like Levi, that know you're sick. You know. You've been going after your own plan, doing things your way, and it hasn't worked, and you're sitting there and you're miserable. And maybe you're even wondering, hey, can I give my life to the Lord? Can I accept Christ and follow him just as I am? There's no other way, church, than coming to the Lord other than just as you are. And you know what the good news of it is that when Jesus says, I want you to follow me, and we give up all and we go after him, he does the work in us. Because I'm sure there's some of you here today that's like, man, I've been wrapped up in some stuff for a long time. I get it, and I'm going to tell you something about it. He's going to work it out on his timing, not on somebody else's timing for you. And if you're here this morning, you're like, you know what? I'm a Christian. I'm good. I don't get high or smoke dope or keep with folks that do or whatever. You're so sick, you don't even know you're sick. And you need Jesus today too. So would you stand with me as we close out in prayer? And I want you guys to pick this down on your phone. Write it in your Bible, because this is so important. That when we come to Jesus, he doesn't treat us as an enemy, but as a patient. And if you're sick today, God's the healer. You're gonna have to trust him to get you through it. You're gonna have to trust him to change. Follow him. That's what he told Levi. He didn't say, change and follow me. He said, just get up and come on. Bow your heads with me this morning. God, we love you and we thank you that when we come to you as we are, that you don't treat us as enemies, but you treat us as patients. And God, we are sick. From the front to the back of this room, we are sick. We've got so much anger. We've got so much bitterness, God. We've got so much hate in our heart, Lord. We've got so much judgment. Lord, we are really messed up, but you're a really great and amazing God that didn't come for well people, but sick ones. So we give our life to you. Work your way in us, Lord. May your will be done in our life, and that we remember that when we come to you, you don't treat us like an enemy, but as a patient. In Jesus.